Hello, this is Testimony Talk. My name is Jalen, also known as Dr. J, and welcome to another episode of this amazing podcast. Now, let me tell y'all about the foundation scripture of this podcast. The foundational scripture of this podcast is Revelation 12:11. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And this podcast, the main goal is to share your story. We all have the same story. God saved me from this. God's impacted our lives in various ways, and I just want to share it with other people. So give me a few minutes and I will bring on the guest for today. Now, if you all could follow me into Genesis 41, verse 38, and we are going to read into the story of Joseph, and specifically a certain particular passage that I had in mind that actually shows a very surprising revelation about a certain person, particular in Joseph's life. But before we do that, let me give you some context. For those of you who don't know the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, towards the beginning of the Bible, is the youngest son of, or rather one of the youngest sons of Jacob. His brothers, he had 11 brothers. They were jealous of him because he was the favorite son. They sold him into Egypt because they really did not like the boy. Long story short, Joseph, through a lot of trials and tribulations, makes his way before Pharaoh because Pharaoh heard that this is a man who can interpret dreams. So Joseph interprets dreams, Pharaoh's dreams that no one else can interpret, and he becomes ruler over all of Egypt under Pharaoh. But as we go into context, I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into everything that happened in particular with Joseph and how a certain someone in Egypt played a special role in his life. So let us begin. In Genesis 41:38, follow along with me if you can. I'm reading from the Amplified version. It has a lot of tiny little details in there. Okay, so here we go. So Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this, equal to Joseph, in whom is the divine spirit of the Most High God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since your God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and clear-headed and wise as you are. You, Joseph, shall have charge over my house, and all my people shall be governed according to your word and pay respect to you with reverence, submission, and obedience. Only in matters of the throne of Egypt will I be greater than you." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you in charge over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and dressed him in official vestments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had Joseph ride in his second chariot and runners proclaimed before him, "Attention, bow the knee." And he set Joseph over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission shall no man raise his hand to do anything or set his foot to go anywhere in all the land of Egypt. All classes of people shall be submit to your authority." Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that again. And he gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, Helianopolis in Egypt, as his wife. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt to inspect and govern it. We're going to pause right there. If you look at the way this scripture is set, there is a certain pattern. Now let's scroll back up to verse Verse 41. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over the land of Egypt." Pharaoh took off his signet ring and put it on Joseph and dressed him in official clothing and put a gold chain around his head. So not only did Pharaoh give him the authority, he publicly displayed him riding with Pharaoh in his chariots to show that the position of power. He also dressed him in authority in that specific royal linen that Egyptians wear. But there was one other tiny detail that a lot of people look over when it comes to Joseph's when it comes to Joseph's, how can I say this? Promotion. And it was his wife. Let's scroll down to when Joseph gave him a new title. I mean, when Pharaoh gave Joseph a new title, he gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, as his wife. She was the daughter of a priest. Now let's dive into that, because a lot of people don't really know too much about Asenath and how important she was. Because a lot of people, when they hear about marriage in the Bible, they talk about Abraham and Sarah. They talk about Hosea and Gomer, Ruth and Boaz. But no one ever talks about Asenath. So I had always wondered for a long time, why did Pharaoh give Joseph her as a wife? Why did he do that? Because Joseph had the title, he had the clothes, he had the authority from Pharaoh, and he had the visible people who saw him. But why? Why was Asenath a part of the equation? What is about her that she was a necessity to be required, that Pharaoh gave him to her? So I looked up a little bit into the Egyptian hierarchy, and one of the very important statuses in ancient Egypt times, there was a hierarchy of sorts. There's an order. Pharaoh was at the top. The priests were under him, and the nobles were under. Now, Joseph was directly under Pharaoh, so that means his position, his new position that was just made for him, sits between Pharaoh and the priests. And I had to think for a second. Egyptian women played a very key role in modern Egyptian society. So not only did Joseph had to have the title and the authority given to Pharaoh himself, he also had to have to marry into someone of status, because marriage was very important during that time period. Marrying someone of nobility and status. And Asenath just happened to fill that role. Her status in not only just Egyptian society, but spiritually was important as well, because the Bible also says too, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Marriage is important to God. And if you look at a little bit later down the line, Asenath gives birth to two sons named Ephraim and Manasseh. But if you look at the way their names are, they are Hebrew names. And this specific message is for my married people as well as my single people. Do you see what key role she plays in this man's life? Even though he had the title, even though he had the authority, but he didn't have the status. There's a certain type of status that not only that a woman of, not even just a woman of God, your wife gives you. There's a certain type of status that a woman gives a man that cannot be replaced in the eyes of God. Specifically in the unity that is a marriage. So my question to you, men of God, do you know the status of your wife? Do you know the status in the spirit that she has? And likewise for my women of God who are married, and maybe even single, do you know the status of your husband? Do you know the status of the person you're engaged to? Do you know? Do you understand the value that God has placed upon them for the role that they are getting ready to undertake or are already taking? Do you really know? Because just as Joseph could have easily said no, because his experience with Egyptian women has been a little bit hazy with that encounter with Potiphar's wife a few years ago or a few chapters ago. And likewise, Asenath could also have said no. Because if you look at the things that was probably said about Joseph, word travels. People probably have heard of the Hebrew slave, or maybe even the, maybe not technically the Hebrew, but the slave that was imprisoned for possible rape, as well as he was just a slave who has been raised up to be this type of position. Rumors travel, things happen, especially in ancient times. So either one of them could have said no to the task. And of course, ancient times, there are consequences that comes to that. But for some reason, they did not. Joseph took her as his wife. Asenath accepted Joseph as his husband. Because if you look later on in verse, what is it, 41, 50. Now two sons were born to Joseph before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. She's mentioned again. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, causing to forget. For he said, God has made me forget all of my trouble and hardship and all sorrow of my father's household. He named the second son Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful and very successful in the land of my suffering. These names are Hebrew names, which obviously mean Joseph wore the pants in the family, so to speak. This is a Hebrew man, an Egyptian woman. I'm betting you, eventually, in order to get those names, he had to have told her about everything he has been through. Because she could have easily processed and say, no, I want my sons to be named after Egypt, Egyptian names. But somewhere along the line, they must have had a conversation. So not only do we see Asenath playing a key role in Joseph's status, but also in his bloodline, and also in the leadership of his household. So my question to you, all my married couples, specifically you guys, are you fully aware of the status of your significant other? Wives, do you understand the purpose that your husband has? And likewise, husbands, do you understand the value of the status that your wife has? Are you two unified like Joseph and Asenath are? Keep in mind, these are two people who come from two different backgrounds. This boy is from Hebrew. This girl is from Egypt. These two should not be mixing. There's literally a law later on after Joseph's time frame that talks about this stuff. This is a Hebrew boy of covenant mixed in with an Egyptian woman that is a Gentile. Joseph is literally pulling off a ministry centuries before ministry between Jews and Gentiles could even happen. I say all this to say this, men and women of God, your family is your first ministry. Is your family achieving purpose? Is your marriage achieving purpose? But it starts off with the knowledge and the awareness of the status of a husband and a wife. I ask this question again. Wives, are you helping your husband fulfill his purpose? Does he even know it? Can you help him? Can you help him get there with his relationship with God? And likewise, husbands, are you leading your family in an honorable, respectable way? Can God trust you to be a Joseph? Can God trust you to be ruler over, not just over whatever he's called you to do, but can he trust you to be ruler over this woman? And likewise, women, can he trust you to be a helper to this man? Or are we pouting? Are we complaining that she hasn't done the dishes like I asked her to? Or women, are you complaining that he hasn't done the garbage like he asked her to? Where's the intimacy? Because obviously these two, they had a very close, tight, knit, intimate relationship, and we don't even hear much about it. But we can tell with the context that they have had in conversations. There have been some secrets that have been shared. There have been some stats that have been shared, because just as much as Joseph had the title, he needed Asenath to maintain a certain status in Egypt and spiritually with the Heavenly Father. So I say all that today to, and even my single people who are engaged or dating, are you aware of not just your status, but are you aware of the status you are undertaking as you are walking through this courtship status with this woman, this engagement status with this woman? Same vice versa towards the women, towards the men. Are you aware of the status that comes with a husband, that comes with the title of a wife, that comes with the title of husband? Are either of you aware of your positions? And are you in position to be a great woman of God, to be a great wife? Because a lot of people have the title, but they don't have the status because they lost a little bit of respect towards their husband. They lost a little bit of respect towards their wife. I'm not going to go into the details about like how a marriage should work, but like at the end of the day, husbands, wives, you need each other to cultivate vision, to cultivate purpose. So please, I plead to my husbands and I plead to my married couples, do not forsake the status that is your wife. Do not forsake the status that is your husband. Do not forsake that. Do not forsake that. Because a marriage is a powerful thing, and the devil will try to use any excuse, anything, to break it apart. But God wants to keep it together, and that's the reason why he has me make this, I guess, sermon, if you want to call it that. As much as Joseph had the authority, he had the status, I mean the title, he could not fulfill his Egyptian status properly without Asenath. Because she had a very high position in Egyptian hierarchy. This man was marrying into royalty. It was like coming from a slave. So I say all that to say, husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. And come to an agreement on how to walk together as a unit for the next generation that's coming behind you. And for the purpose that God can fulfill through you. Because I guarantee somebody's watching your marriage just like I'm reading about this one.
To allow me to say this quick prayer and just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin, wash me and cleanse me, set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm forgiven, and I am on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Before we end the show, this is for my listeners. Maybe you don't know this Jesus God or the Lord or the Holy Spirit, or maybe we just don't have a relationship with God in general. This is part of the show where I offer you that. So if you could give me a quick, brief moment of your time to allow me to say this quick prayer and just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm forgiven, and I am on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart.
And that concludes another episode of Testimony Talk. I love doing these things. Thank you guys for all your support. Be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know. And stay tuned for the next time we upload. All right. Bye, guys.